Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program, Today's Issues on American Family Radio. We haven't even talked about what happened in Great Britain with the vote late last week. We are going to discuss that in a few minutes.
Yes.
Okay, Steve Jordahl. Let me first say, if you're looking for a vacation with a purpose, so to speak, I know many of us like vacations without a purpose, which is the whole point of a vacation, right? You go to the beach to do what? To do nothing. But look at the water.
Swim.
And swim, sit on the beach, which is a wonderful vacation. However, if you want to go on a historical or sightseeing vacation, we have two trips coming up, one in June, one in September. And we're going to be going to Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon, and then also to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. Now, seeing those places, not only the history, but also the Christian heritage part. So Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation will be going with us. And so no other tour will have Stephen McDowell there, I guarantee you. And he'll add context. He'll answer questions. He'll give talks. He is wonderful from the Providence Foundation. So join Allison, my wife, and I on one of these tours. We go in June. We go in September. And the tours, the Williamsburg, Jamestown, Yorktown is back-to-back with the D.C., Mount Vernon. So if you're flying cross country, for example, or you're coming a long way and you say, well, I want to do it all in 1 week, then our tours are the ones you want to go on. So the way you find out all the information, dates, cost, itinerary, everything, is just go to the website spiritualheritagetours.com. spiritualheritagetours.com. All the information is there. Tim with Walker. Steve Jordahl joins us now. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. How are you all doing?
We're doing well.
Glad to hear it.
We're doing well. How about yourself?
It's a good day. It's a great day. It's kind of warm outside. We might get some thunder, lightning this afternoon. That's kind of exciting. It's a good change of pace.
You always have to remember we're talking to 183 radio stations.
I do know that.
But where we
but
are.
You asked me how I was doing, not how they were doing.
That's true. I was looking at the radar here. We're in Tupelo, Mississippi, and so our weather is nice right now. But I'm looking at our friends in Arkansas, Missouri, Tennessee, Kentucky. They're getting hammered with some really bad weather, including snow and sleet. But our dose of this medicine will come probably this afternoon around 3 o'clock.
That's what I hear.
3 or 4 o'clock. All right. Now I was thinking about maybe letting our staff go a little early. I was talking to this about, see what you think about this plan, Steve.
Okay.
You know, Walker and I were talking about this. Maybe letting our staff go a little early this afternoon to avoid the thunderstorm, the potentially tornadic activity.
Yeah.
Right.
That isn't exciting, by the way.
So if we let them go at 3, I thought we'll tell them come back in at 9 tonight.
Oh.
To make up
for the 2 hours, you know, and just stay till 11. So you see what I'm saying? Just a swap.
That sounds reasonable.
I think it's fair. 2 hours for 2 hours. So you let them go at 3 ahead of 5 o'clock, normal departure time from the office here or get off time. And then you have them come back in at 9, go
Is
home at
11.
Is the
dress code still in force at 9?
Well, you know, we'll be a little more lax on that. No pajamas, though.
No. Okay.
We already got casual day on Friday here.
Yeah.
But we don't have pajama day. Like that, like they do at some places.
Yeah.
All right. So, what do you got? What do you got leading off today?
Let's start with you talked about the UK elections. They happened last week, and it was a blowout for Boris Johnson and the Conservative Party in Great Britain.
Is that similar to our Conservative parties here? To a Republican? Is this a Republican type Democrat type thing?
Well. The Labour Party, which is their Democrat, is very much like our Democrat Party here.
Very liberal.
It's very liberal, trending more liberal, socialist. Jeremy Corbyn, their candidate, was talking about almost nationalizing industries and and doing a whole lot of very, very radical left stuff. And Boris Johnson, Boris Johnson has been, he's the current prime minister. A lot of people have said he's the British President Trump. So, yeah, I think there are a lot of similarities. A huge victory. The polls were saying that the conservatives were going to win, but I don't think anybody saw this big of a win. What it means is that this trend globally towards populism has not shown any signs of slowing. So you remember in July of 2016, we had the Brexit vote in Britain. They voted to split from the European Union and become their own country. Following that, in November, the United States elected Donald Trump. And since then, you've seen Brazil elect a populist and a guy named Bolsonaro. We have the Hong Kong protests, which are people standing up saying we want our own sovereignty. You have stadiums full of people, I've heard reporting, in Iran calling for the return of the Shah and to depose the Islamic government there. So this is really taking flight. And I had a conversation I had a conversation on Friday with two people. One was Richard Land of Southern Seminary, and the other was Frank Gaffney of the Center for Security Policy. Frank's first, and then Richard comments second in this clip coming up. I asked Frank, it looks like this the populism is winning over the powers of globalism. This is what he had to say.
It's building. And it's a good thing, by and large. The examples are very positive signs of free people desirous of exercising their liberties.
This is great news for America because it shows our elites they can only thwart Donald Trump for so long.
There you go. That's Richard Land, the second voice you heard there. So I think this does portend well for the Trump election in 2020 as far as those kind of forces are concerned.
Walker, what do you think?
Well, it's definitely a worldwide movement, if you will. Brexit actually, I believe, occurred a couple months before the 2016 election here in the U.S.
Yeah, in
and
July.
It was almost a foreshadowing of the sentiments that people are feeling. And this is not necessarily just a conservative-type movement. It's more of a, I don't know if you call it libertarian, but it's a...
populist.
Yeah, it's a populist. People want less government, more freedom.
Yeah, but in Great Britain, too, I think there's an element here. They've had a huge problem like we have with illegal immigration.
Yes.
And when you're in with the EU, you know, a lot of times you have to take a lot of...
You're subject to Brussels.
Right.
Yeah.
And they're saying we don't want to be subject to Brussels anymore. The people of Great Britain.
And it's really a shame that the Brexit has taken this long.
Yeah.
Well, when the people pass a referendum, you expect it to be effective immediately or within a few months, but they still need the parliament to approve this, right?
There's a deep state in Britain as well. So the elections that followed, the reason it was a big election wasn't just that that Boris Johnson was reelected, but they have a lot of seats now in parliament. So it looks like the parliament will be able to affect the change and write as a divorce certificate.
Yeah.
So this next year, 2020, as the calendar is set up now, is going to be kind of limbo for Britain. They're still going to have the EU laws and everything, but they are starting the severing process. December of 2020, going into 2021, the ties should be cut, and Britain will now be free to do, and President Trump has already said, we're looking forward to signing a great trade deal with them, and the world is going to want to trade with Great Britain.
Mm-hmm.
They're a good trading partner.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And, the European Union has some big issues. One of them is their court system. It's the EU court system there's little accountability when it comes to the people and the courts because, the people don't have a say on these big European Union courts that lay all these heavy decisions down. So that's just one of multiple factors where the people in Britain were ready to get back control of their government.
You guys talked about the populism on this on the one side of the equation and maybe libertarianism. On the other side of the equation, the thing that is being kind of thrown away by the masses of people is globalism. You remember President Obama would always defer to what the EU wanted. He kind of did the apology tour and then kind of sublimated a lot of American pride, American power to kind of go in with the globalist agenda. And that's what's being protested, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to bring...
Now, I will say this.
Yes.
For Boris Johnson. Is it Johnson?
Johnson.
He really needs to stop copying Bernie Sanders' hair.
Well, there is that.
Huh?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's becoming obvious. Even though he's totally against Bernie Sanders' politics, you can tell that the two of them have... That's my own opinion. I know everybody has their opinion about somebody's hairstyle.
Yeah.
But he's got that Europe. He does have the European just got out of bed look.
He does.
Who needs to brush their
hair? Roll out of bed. Who needs a brush? Let's get going.
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead, Steve.
All right. I want to bring you some sound. This is a sound from Congressman Hank Johnson, a Democrat from Georgia. He was at the Georgia NAACP convention, which is the National Association. Well, it used to be the National Association Advancement of
Colored People.
It's an African-American rights group, liberal Democrat in its policies, as it happens. He was talking about President Trump and his supporters. Listen to this.
The same trend towards authoritarian rule, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, is playing out right here at home, where Americans elected an authoritarian, anti-immigrant, racist strongman to the nation's highest office. Donald Trump and his Make America Great Again followers, who want to return America back to a time when white men and white privilege were unchallenged, and where minorities and women were in their place. These folks now control the highest office of the land. Donald Trump's supporters are older, less educated, less prosperous, and they are dying early. Their lifespans are decreasing, and many are dying from alcoholism, drug overdoses, liver disease, or simply a broken heart caused by economic despair.
Yeah, I see that happening all over the place.
Who is that?
That was a U.S. Congressman, Hank Johnson.
Well, you know, I want to quote the movie Elf and say that you, sir, are sitting on a throne of lies. That was a speech full of lie after lie after lie. And, you know, the shameful thing is, who's going to, other than us here talking, but nobody major, at least in the Democrat Party, refutes that type of propaganda that and the falseness.
Now, there. a lot of the lefties believe the first part of what he said.
Yeah,
that President Trump is a tyrant, basically, who racist, homophobe, xenophobe. Somebody help me with some phobes here.
Islamophobe.
Just fill in
misogynistic phobe.
About probably three or four more phobes that they would mention that President Trump represents and the people who voted for him.
We'll look it up in the phobe book.
Yeah.
Please. Get you a phobe book and look it up.
Yes.
But then he goes off into bizarro land.
Yeah.
Trump supporters are dying. Yeah,
got liver disease or what'd he say?
Alcoholics.
Where'd he come up with this stuff?
I have no idea.
Anyway,
well, it's the Democrats, it's the blue cities that are in despair.
Yeah, economic
despair.
You
look across the country, and drug despair too.
Yeah,
that really crosses party lines. But you know, you look at these big dim cities; these people are.
I tell you what,
the jobless rate is high.
If I were the Democrats, I'd be worried about losing another 5 to 10% of the African American vote this time around.
Mm-hmm.
I really would. 5%. The African American vote. I know it's not completely monolithic, but let's face it, 90% of the time, Democrats, black folks vote for Democrats, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows this. So it's a constituency that the Democrats count on heavily. Well, if the black vote is not going to be there except for 80%. And if it's not, if folks in the black community are not excited about voting like they were for Barack Obama, for example,
yeah,
that's going to hurt. That's going to hurt the Democrats greatly when we get to November, right?
Yes.
Perhaps in congressional seats, senatorial races, and certainly for the White House. While he's talking to the NAACP right there, that fella, and I'm not going to deny that the Democrats won't get the vast majority of African-American voters. They always do. But if you start cutting it down from 90 to 80%, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're getting into the you're cutting out a lot of voters
in a
narrow race where every vote counts, and you don't, you know, that could hurt the Democrats.
And just 10%, you're talking a couple, you're talking millions.
Yeah.
You know, of votes.
Right. And people who don't, it's not only people a minority population, Hispanics included in this, although they're more diverse than the black folks in terms of who they vote for. They'll vote more for Republicans. But it's the enthusiasm level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you may still have the African-American vote going 85 for whoever the Democrats put up or 80% for whoever the Democrats put up, percentage-wise, but the voting numbers are down because I said for certain, the enthusiasm and the excitement level for a Joe Biden was just not there.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? Now, also, what could help President Trump with the African-American community, like it could help him with the Hispanic community, is the economy.
Yeah.
Because the economy has been great for African-American folks, just like it has for everybody. And so, you know, the African-American voter out there who would normally vote Democrat, maybe this time says, you know what, President Trump has done a pretty good job with the economy. It's working for everybody, for all Americans, including the African-American community. And you know what? I'm going to vote for him this time.
You remember the 2016 campaign where President Trump said that the Democrats were taking the African-American vote for granted,
mm-hmm.
and said to them, what do you have to lose by not supporting by mm-hmm. supporting me? What do you have to lose? Come on, let's try it.
Right.
And now, going into 2020, he can say, look what I've done for you. You're better off, so just like you said. So, yeah.
Well, I think I wouldn't phrase it like that, but I understand what you're saying. I would say, of course, President Trump, you know, he will say, look what I've done for you. That's just how that's his style, right? But I would say, look what his economic policies have been able to do for our whole country. That's what I would say.
Yeah.
If I were him, not only for everybody, whites, blacks, brown, yellow, whatever the case may be, everybody's done better as a whole in the American economy under President Trump, which President Obama, he'll try to take credit for it. You know, this was what I started. Huh? You see this every once in a while.
This
is really my economy. It's what, he'll say. So President Obama, he's got a good deal going on if you believe his line of reasoning, because he during the time he was in office, that is President Obama, he couldn't get the economy going because he was having to clean up what Bush did, right?
Right.
Bush wrecked the economy. I have to come in. I'm suffering the consequences of a Bush-wrecked economy. Therefore, it's stagnant. So he's there for 8 years. He leaves. Trump gets in. They do the tax cuts and the deregulation. The economy goes through the roof. And now Barack Obama's going, yeah, see what I started?
Yeah, he got it revved up for Trump.
I set the dinner table. Now Trump's eating at it. Huh? That's basically what he's. So it's a win-win, right?
Yeah.
It's a win-win for Barack Obama in his mind. You're listening to Today's Issues on AFR. Next story, Steve.
Well, Democrats and the left might despise President Obama, but the military loves him. Did you happen to watch the Army-Navy game on Saturday?
I didn't. I wanted to, but I didn't get to. What happened?
Well, Navy, who was ranked, I think, 23rd, took it to Army, broke a three-game win streak by Army, and won handily in this game. But what really was noteworthy was what happened before the game. President Trump decided to attend the game, and he was given the honor of doing the coin flip.
Okay.
I want you to hear, this is referee Mike Roche, who introduced the president and gave him the coin. This is Cut 12.
Gentlemen, we're gathered here for the coin toss. It's obviously with great pride, great honor to welcome our commander-in-chief, our president of the United States, President Donald J. Trump. Mr. President, thank you for all that you do, all the good you do for our country. We thank you for joining us today to make this a special moment.
It was nice. It was a nice moment. There was a lot of cheering in that stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's popular with the military, folks.
He is.
Yep.
For many reasons.
Yeah.
And Republicans traditionally are, but they were appreciative of President Trump being there at the Army Navy football game.
Yeah,
he'll get the vast majority of military families to vote for him.
You know, one thing he did that kind of went under the radar also over the weekend is President Trump changed the rule within the Department of Defense to where, service members, especially who play for Army and Navy, are allowed to go play in the NFL after college and then come back and continue their service in the military.
He signed that executive order in the locker room of the Navy right before the game.
Yeah, which traditionally the service members haven't, if they were offered an NFL contract or NBA or MLB, whatever, they had to turn it down. Because they had to stay and do their service. Or be
like Roger Staubach did, 3 years, and, also, and then they couldn't come back.
Yeah.
Then David Robinson, the
right
Hall of Fame NBA player, did the same thing.
Yeah. But now he made it available where they can pursue their career and then come back and serve.
Yeah, it was good. I want to end with, I want to bring back the file system. May I do that? Remember when we used to have the Russia file and everything?
Yeah.
This is, and we're sticking with the theme of football, this is the good, the bad, the ugly file. And, yes,
okay.
There was some good and the bad and ugly in the NFL on Sunday, the good. Do you know that Bills fans came out at 2 in the morning in 25-degree weather to greet their team flying home from Pittsburgh after winning and getting into the playoffs for the first time? Listen to the crowd at the airport. That's 2 in the morning and 25 degrees out there.
That's some wind-starved people right there, W-I-N.
Right.
They've been wanting a winter back in Buffalo. So.
Yeah, but the bad. Yeah. Oakland played its – I'm a Raider fan, right. As you know. I'm a little disappointed in the fans, the Oakland fans now. They played their last game ever in the Coliseum as they're moving to Nevada, to Las Vegas next year. This is them at the end of the Raider game. As they're throwing trash onto the field. It was not a very pretty sight. And the ugly? Well, this is in the middle, the second quarter of the Raider game, when the referee said this.
Please stop using lasers aiming at the field. Do not aim a laser at the field, at the coaches, the players. Stop.
I don't think I've ever heard that in the NFL before.
Sounds like things got a little wild there.
Man.
You mean like one of those things that
laser pointers,
the red dots?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
That can temporarily blind folks. They were doing that. Well, okay, Steve. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Walker, thank you.
Yes, sir.
My thanks to Fred for his contributions today, and Brent Creeley for running the control board for us. Thank you for listening to AFR. If you want to send us an email, you can go do so at comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. Have a great afternoon and evening, and we'll see you back here tomorrow, everybody.